welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. It's your hosts, Ken and Mike. How are you doing today, Ken?
Oh, you put me first this time. I feel honored.
Yeah, well.
How's that? That is nice. I can feel it. I really can.
Okay.
So, yeah, how was your weekend? Hasn't been a very busy weekend news-wise.
Whoa.
Sorry, Hydra stepped in for a second.
Wow. It's been kind of a slow week.
Yeah, it has been a slow week. It's almost like Hydra has stepped in.
Yeah. Guardians is still in the theater and was number one at the box office again, so maybe...
Yeah, what was it, over 500?
That's over 500 now. It made 24 million. Was it 22 or 24 million?
I don't remember.
Over the weekend.
But I think it's coming out as, what, the top movie of the year so far?
Not sure about that, but I know, of course, any movie of August, it is the top film of all time in August.
Yeah. Definitely beat the numbers for Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, definitely a Marvel dominated year. So
absolutely, and more to come.
Speaking of Captain America, big congratulations to Scarlett Johansson. Gave birth to baby girl today, in which they named Rose.
Rose.
So I do not know details, but. From us here at Mighty Marvel Geeks, we say congratulations on the newborn and hope to see you back on the big screen shortly. So, like we do every week, we do our comic book picks. And a couple weeks ago, we started doing the Marvel Unlimited pick of the week as well. This week in Marvel does their once a month reading club, and they're focused on... who are they focused on this week or this month? Which at the end of them get people together to talk about it. It's Squadron Supreme is who they've gone with this month. For this coming week, if you want to really check it out, it was the start of the run from back in, well, it started in 2005, first published on December 28th, 2005, written by Sean McKeever, who is now over on working at BioWare on the Star Wars Old Republic MMO game. It's Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane number one. The boyfriend thing because you demanded it. The highly acclaimed drama featuring the life of a teenage Mary Jane Watson returns as an ongoing series. This time she's got some friendly neighborhood backup. With her circle of friends and recent relationship left in despair, MJ is on the market once again. But who will she choose to be the next object of her affections? Peter Parker, her bookish but sweet tutor and newly minted friend, or that dangerous, exciting crime fighter in red and blue tights, Spider-Man? Right. Come on, Mary Jane, smarten up.
Yeah.
It's the same guy.
So, go ahead, Mike, I'm sorry.
Stick with Eisner Award winner Sean McKeever and superstar artist Takeshi Miyazawa to find out. And this is a great story.
So the original series ended in July 2007 with issue number 20. It only was 20 issues. And then it was followed by a 5-issue miniseries in August 2008 by writer Terry Moore.
Correct. But the Sean McKeever stuff is the stuff really worth checking out, though.
Yeah. Hey, props to Terry Moore. He's a good writer.
Yeah. But it's just the whole everything that McKeever did, and Miyazawa, his art is absolutely amazing in this book as well. So that's our pick for Marvel Unlimited. Who knows? Maybe we'll take a cue from this week in Marvel and maybe do our own Unlimited book club and pick a book and maybe discuss it in the future.
Maybe
it's something we'll do maybe not every month, but maybe once every 3 months. Who knows? Once in a quarter. There we go. Since you can't get the books for a quarter anymore.
Nope.
So,
I wish.
Oh, that would be great. But hey, you know, even Comicology, every Monday is I like to call it the Marvel Madness. Marvel offers up a title or a series of of issues based around a character for 99 cents for the day.
Right.
So a great way to build your library that way as well. So
99 cents is good.
99 cents is good. That's one penny shy of a dollar. That's savings.
Wow, you're blowing my mind with your math.
Hey, I try. So we know Big Hero 6 is coming later this year, in November, actually. And of course, a lot of people thought when Disney bought Marvel, maybe the possibility of a Disney Pixar animated Marvel movie. At this maybe. Point in time, now we could go a Disney Pixar animated Marvel Lucasfilm movie.
Good Lord.
Who knows? Guest starring the Muppets. I gotta get all our franchises in.
Get them all in.
Iron Frog.
Wow.
Okay, did I go too far?
Yes.
Okay. When asked by Vulture if anyone at Pixar, and this was asked to John Lasseter, who runs both Disney Animation and Pixar, if he or anyone on his team had ever had talks with Marvel about collaborating on a project, Lasseter bluntly replied, "No, we haven't." And and then this next quote makes us think that those talks will never happen either, because he follows up with, "If we went directly into the Marvel universe, that would mean we'd work more directly with Marvel."
Did he say that as a bad thing or something? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, is it a bad thing?
Would they replace the live action movies? Is that the concern?
Could that be the next fear? Yeah. Now, Lasseter didn't expressly say that would be a bad thing. But I mean, let's think about it. Marvel had a hard time with Edgar Wright on Ant-Man. Can you imagine they'd be willing to give themselves over to Disney Animation or Pixar just because they're owned by the same parent corporation? Mm. Kevin Feige told AICN, we'd never give a director final cut just as a matter of policy. The whole purpose of becoming our own studio was to make the decisions. The studio was founded on having creative say. If they're not going to give an outside director final cut, we can't imagine that they afford that level of control to Pixar either. So, but the way Disney wants to do it, though, Lasseter was quick to add that Big Hero 6, while being inspired by a Marvel comic, without question was made 100% at Disney Animation. So, how do you feel about that?
Right now, I think they should stick to what they are good at doing, each being their own separate thing. As long as Marvel, they already have their plan out for all the live-action movies, I don't think releasing Marvel animated movies in the theater is a good idea.
I agree. Now, Marvel and Pixar collaborating for a direct-to-video project?
I have no
problem with that. Absolutely. I really don't. It's would Pixar want to go that route? Because Pixar has been very protective of wanting to stay big screen first. Look at all the issues that came about with Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3, or mainly Toy Story 2. They weren't going to allow.
Why would Disney even need Pixar? I mean, honestly, why would Marvel need to? Couldn't they just deal with Disney Animation? Why do they need to have Pixar involved?
I don't think they do, to be honest with you. I mean, Pixar's got enough on their plate. For Disney Animation to take stuff inspired by, not a problem. I think it works out great.
I think Disney Animation direct to video would be perfectly fine.
I think so too. Now, if you, I think leaving things status quo is the way to do it. So, I guess there's some news on the Agent Carter front.
There is a little bit of news. More actors.
That's always a good thing.
Adding a new actor.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Josh Whedon, I don't know if you may recall this or not, Joss Whedon gave from his old show Dollhouse, remember that one?
I really was not a Dollhouse fan. My wife was, but I was not.
Okay. Well, he had a guy I worked on the show with him, and excuse me for butchering his name, but it's a tough one. Enver Joygash? Goyjack? How do you say that, Mike? Joy?
I would say...
Joygash?
Jokaj?
Jokaj?
It's a Slavic name, I believe.
Albanian.
Albania. See, it was close. It's Soviet, the old Soviet bloc region.
Yeah, Wikipedia is not helping me pronounce his name either.
No.
So, so he had a brief role in the Avengers, you know, and according to Deadline, he has won the role of Daniel Sousa in the Agent Carter series. They described him as a sweet and honorable agent, Daniel Sousa, a true war hero who has risked his life many times, resulting once in a crippling leg injury.
Wow.
Said that I first read about this character in July when Film Divider did a piece on the show's new characters. According to their report, Sousa is a war hero who walks using a leg brace but finds dealing with office politics to be harder than working around his injury. He's also a fiercely honorable gentleman, and we're betting he becomes one of Peggy's major allies.
Okay.
So he's a goody two-shoes? Is that what he is? The same report details another bunch of characters from Carter's boss, Roger Dooley, to Autumn Matt Waitress, Angie Martinelli, a friend of Peggy's away from work. If these have been cast, no names have surfaced yet.
Okay.
So that's the news for there. So we have another actor on board of the show.
Now, they're saying what now? Agent Carter is expected to run for 10 episodes?
Instead of 8? Yeah, so
we
just go
so
for
they,
10.
So they
air date is not determined. Still going to run as a mid-run fill-in for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Very cool. Well, speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as we know, September 9th, you can bring home Captain America, the Winter Soldier, on Blu-ray and DVD. But, Ken, now's your chance to go out and catch up on Season 1, because...
Marvel's I have it on Agents, pre-order.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming home on Blu-ray September 9th as well.
You can relive all 22 thrilling episodes, plus get Level 7 access with new declassified bonus features.
Level 7 access.
Exactly.
In the wake of the Battle of New York, the world has changed forever. An extraordinary landscape of wonders has been revealed. In response, mysteriously resurrected Agent Coulson assembles an elite team of skilled agents and operatives. Melinda May, Grant Ward, Leo Fitz, Gemma Simmons, and new recruit, computer hacker, Sky. And of course, you know, we saw them investigate the new, the strange, and the unknown across the globe, high and low, through mountains, in mountains, whatever. And of course, part of this, you know, questions kept coming out and reverberating. What about Tahiti? Who is the clairvoyant? Because of Captain America, the Winter Soldier. What's Hydra's master plan? What is Sky? We know she's an 084, but or 087, but what's her origin?
Can she be trusted? Who can be trusted?
Can anyone be trusted?
Yeah.
So, bonus features on this Blu-ray set. Journey into San Diego Comic-Con. Hop on the bus and share the thrill of a lifetime as the series makes its first ever appearance at San Diego Comic-Con, where the cast is welcomed with open arms by a sea of enthusiastic fans.
A sea of them.
Another feature is Marvel Studios assembling a Universe TV special, which was a great little highlight when we found out there was, 30 people who turned down writing or directing Iron Man?
Yeah.
5 behind-the-scenes field reports where you get exclusive access to the show's classified sets for the making of your favorite episodes. And those episodes are...
You are not authorized to access this area.
No. They put out a press release.
Jarvis has been on the fritz lately. What is going on with him?
Unfortunately, we cannot ignore the inevitable.
Jarvis.
Wow. Jarvis, can we try one more time?
Level 7 access.
Well, we already had it, so, but anyhow, the episodes that you're going to get the behind the scenes field reports, the Malibu Jump, the Bridge, Asgardian Bar Fight, Classified, and Cello Duet. Where are the cellos? Need to hear more cellos.
There's a duet, apparently.
Correct. Visual effects breakdowns, explore the layers of effects and sequences with split frame comparisons to the final version, audio commentaries with the filmmakers and the cast, a gag reel, and deleted scenes. So, it's gonna be interesting to see what comes about. I think this Blu-ray,
when you buy it, I'll check it out.
Okay. See what we can do. Actually, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this half of the show with a synopsis of what's coming in Season 2. If you have not seen Captain America, the Winter Soldier, one, shame on you. if you have not completed the first season of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we understand. I mean, we understand.
Yeah, some of us haven't.
Hey, we understand. We understand. We might do some spoilers here in the synopsis. So proceed at your own risk.
This is awesome. So I don't have to watch the second season now.
True. Well, no, maybe.
I'm so bad.
You don't have to watch the first season now.
Oh,
okay. Of course, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns for a dynamic, action-packed second season with newly appointed director Phil Coulson, now the Keeper of Secrets, charged with rebuilding and restoring government and public trust in S.H.I.E.L.D. in the wake of the events of Marvel's Captain America, the Winter Soldier, where it was revealed evil Hydra agents had infiltrated the organization.
Yes, they had.
Ever since the existence of superheroes and aliens became public knowledge after the Battle of New York, the world has been trying to come to grips with this new reality. It's called Shawarma, people.
Shawarma.
Agent Coulson, who had died at the hands of Loki during the battle, was resurrected and brought back into action, assembling a small, highly select group of agents from the worldwide law enforcement organization known as the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
It sounds like it would be S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s mission to protect...
I think anytime this story says S.H.I.E.L.D., you can't say S.H.I.E.L.D., you have to say the whole thing.
We will see what happens next. to protect those who cannot protect themselves from threats that they cannot conceive. The biggest threat was growing from within as Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division's old enemy, Hydra, which is just Hydra, a dangerous extremist group Captain America fought against in World War II, has secretly infiltrated and affected the organization at the highest levels. Once revealed to the public, S.H.I.E.L.D., including Coulson and his team, were discredited to made to look like the enemy. The world now views S.H.I.E.L.D. as an untrustworthy, and it's Coulson's job to change that opinion.
So, yeah. So after helping to thwart Hydra.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
Coulson was appointed as director and tasked with rebuilding the agency. This won't be an easy job to accomplish with the majority of, I'm just going to say S.H.I.E.L.D., agents either killed, secretly working for Hydra, known as Hydra, or free agents. Agent Melinda May, expert pilot, martial artist, and longtime friend, will continue to look after Coulson in the wake of the mysterious etchings he's been carving into walls. Caveman? What do these etchings mean? And can Coulson be trusted? Grant Ward, highly trained in combat and espionage, was found to be a Hydra mole and a traitor. And a traitor to S.H.I.E.L.D., and locked up away from the world and his former teammates. But this isn't the last we've seen of him. After being left to die in the middle of the ocean by Ward, agents Leo Fitz, brilliant engineer, and agent Jemma Simmons, genius biochemist, found a way to escape their watery grave. It all did not go well for Fitz, who was left in a coma and may never regain his full cognitive functions, a devastating blow to Simmons. And computer hacker Sky, now a full-fledged S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, discovered her origins as a 084, an object of unknown origin. And her parents were considered monsters. Yeah, you were right the first time. Her parents were considered monsters. Could Sky have darkness lying dormant inside of her? Also joining Coulson's core team is Lance Hunter, a dashing mercenary sharpshooter with a quick wit. Since he didn't rise up through the ranks, does he have an ulterior motive for helping out a team? Who can Coulson trust?
So
he can trust nobody, apparently.
Apparently so. Apparently so. So, well, on that note, we're going to take a break, and we're going to see you right back. You've been listening to Mike and Ken, your hosts of Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio.
New sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that! It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and fun new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at Meet the Magic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary. Can we go again?
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. It is Mike and Ken, and so where do we pick off? Pop vinyl has been a popular thing recently, made by Funko.
In the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think we first saw them, at Celebration 5? Star Wars Celebration 5?
4 years. Was that 4 years ago? 3 years ago? Four years ago.
You know, they had a couple things out. And, of course, you know, we've been seeing them in the stores. Over on last week on Mighty Marvel Geeks, we talked about how there was a pre-order for the Dancing Groot pop vinyl, and that there was also a pre-order for Howard the Duck from the movie. Mm-hmm. Well, there's more bobbleheads coming from Funko in their pop vinyl line, this time featuring the X-Men.
Classic X-Men.
Yes. This series will include some of Marvel's most popular X-Men characters. Each super stylized X-Men pop vinyl figure will stand at 3 3/4 inches tall and will come in a window display box, so you don't have to take them out unless you want to. The X-Men Classic Pop Series will be Cyclops in the old blue and gold outfit. Storm in the all-white outfit. Colossus, which Colossus looks pretty good. Magneto, which looks amazing. That's a nice little one.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Xavier.
Yep.
Wheelchair and all. And this one's one of the best looking ones. Mystique. Yeah, in the traditional white outfit with the skulls. Nice. This one looks super nice.
It's like classic X-Men, though. I don't think Colossus, Storm, or Mystique.
Okay.
I think Beast. Cyclops, Miss Marvel, Beast.
Iceman.
Iceman. Yeah.
Well, it's still still curious to see.
I mean, look good. They look good. I'm not, fussing about that.
They're doing some good stuff over there. So,
yeah.
So Dragon Con was this past weekend, up in Atlanta, and James Gunn was kind of a busy guy. He kind of helped lead one of the largest sayings of "I am Groot" on the steps somewhere. But he was also involved at a panel, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was at a panel. Well, that was whatever last Sunday was. Not sure on the date. The 31st.
August 31st.
August 31st, yeah. He was talking about the supposedly, there was going to be a Stan Lee cameo, of course, there in most movies out there.
Right.
The story was out that, Disney wasn't going to let him do it or something. But he was making the story straight. He said Disney did not forbade him from using the scene because the scene was shot. And he included a photo from the scene. This is all on Twitter, apparently.
Right.
So he talked about a deleted Stan Lee cameo in Guardians and promised the folks that he'd put a post on Instagram, and he did. The picture is, it's not Stan Lee. It's a double in the original cut of the film. It's when the Guardians enter the Collector Museum. Rocket looks over and sees Cosmo the dog in one display. Quill looks over into another display case and is surprised by a tentacle slapping against the glass. And Groot looks over and sees in another display case Stan Lee. In one take, Stan Lee just slowly turns up his finger, flipping off Groot. We shot this footage with the Stan Lee double because Stan wasn't available to come to the UK at the time. The plan was to shoot Stan in the same lighting when I was back in LA, and we digitally replaced the double's head with Stan's actual head. Not quite as difficult as it sounds. Although I thought the cameo was funny, I thought the flipping off joke was too similar to the moment earlier in the film where Quill flips off the Nova Corps, so he got rid of that part immediately. A couple of the guys at Marvel thought Stan Lee in the case was too broad of a joke in general, and it took the audience out of the movie. I argued about it for a bit, but we ended up not keeping it in the film. In a pretty typical case of internet journalism, telephone articles online yesterday said that Disney forbade the scene because of standards. However, that's incorrect. No one at Disney ever saw the scene, and it was cut solely for creative reasons.
Very cool.
So, kind of got a little Stan Lee thing here for you.
Okay.
Have you seen this story? Stan Lee was speaking at the Fan Expo Canada on Friday, which was, I guess, last Friday.
Story.
And let slip the Black Panther movie indeed was happening.
But did he let that slip a couple times before?
I'm not sure. Let's see. This Fan Expo was the same weekend as Dragon Con.
Yeah.
So he says, when they were addressing the question, somebody was addressing the question of whether or not Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow character soon will get her own solo movie. Lee explained, and I quote, "The chances are she will have her own movie because eventually all the superheroes are going to have their own movies. They're already working on Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, and Black Panther, and there are others I'm not allowed to talk about."
He's been saying Doc Strange and Black Panther is coming for almost a year now, so...
So the article goes on to say, does Stanley know for sure that the Black Panther is next? It's highly likely he's aware of it. We've been hearing that the Minisi Ultron will have to travel to Black Panther's homeland to pick up, resources. So the comments, piqued everybody's interest. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, are we good on time here?
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. I was gonna ask you. Now, you probably know what movies, Marvel movies, Stan Lee has been in. What Marvel movies has he not been in?
What Marvel movies has he not been in?
We're talking Marvel movies. It doesn't mean current. It means any Marvel movie.
He was not in Howard the Duck.
Well, yeah.
Hey. That counts. If they don't have it, if you have a list and that's not on the list, then shame on whoever came up with that list. Blade.
Yep.
Daredevil.
Daredevil's not on the list.
Did he make an appearance in Daredevil?
It's not on this list. I'm going by the list. So, what else?
How about Elektra?
He was not in Elektra.
Punisher.
He was not in Punisher.
So, basically, he was in nothing that came out before Iron Man, then.
He was not in X2.
Was he in X1? In X-Men?
You're not supposed to be asking me if he was in them.
Well, you got the list.
He's not on the list for X-Men 1.
Let's see. So. I have his filmography here.
Okay.
This year he did Guardians, Amazing Spider-Man, and Cap, and made an appearance on S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yep.
And had his own TV movie, Stan Lee's Mighty Seven. In 2013, he did Iron Man 3. Is that the only thing that came out in 2013?
It's not an appearance, though, was it?
Yeah, he was a pageant judge.
Also, do you remember that wonderful movie Man-Thing?
Yeah.
He was not in that. He was not in Ghost Rider. He was not in X-Men Origins. Wolverine was not in X-Men First Class. He was not in the sequels of those movies as well.
So he's primarily been in just the episodes of... he's been in everything that's not Fox and...
pretty much.
Well, no, he was in Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Well, he was in Spider-Man movies also in the first round. Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, he was in Rise of the Silver Surfer, and he made an appearance in Heroes too. He was in X-Men Last Stand and in Fantastic Four.
Right.
Spider-Man 2, Hulk. He was in Daredevil.
Ah.
Spider-Man, X-Men. He wasn't. So you're right. X-Men 2. He was not in.
Yeah.
Wow. And of course, no, he wasn't in Howard the Duck. So,
right. Anyway, just a little tidbits.
Wow. that's pretty interesting. So, but, you know, there's been a concerted effort since Iron Man 3 that he's been in since Iron Man to be in every Marvel Studios film.
Now you know why he wasn't in Guardians.
He was in Guardians. He does have a cameo in Guardians.
Well, no. I mean, at the end. His cameo was cut.
No, he was in Guardians. It wasn't cut. It's the scene they were going to do got cut.
Yeah. He was in the city scene.
Right. He was the ladies' man.
Right. Yeah, but he was just cut from this other scene.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Confusing me, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can always play Howard the Duck for you.
Go ahead. I know you want to do it.
We'll pass. But I will do this because it's that time again. Comic book shop, comic book shop. Everybody going to the comic book shop. Comic book shop, comic book shop. Everybody going to the comic book. It is time for the Mighty Marvel Geeks Picks of the Week. And of course, this will be for New Comic Book Day, Wednesday, September 10th. Man, year's flying.
It is indeed.
So, what do you have as your first pick?
My first pick is George Romero's Empire of the Dead, Act 2, Number 1. I've been picking this consistently, so I'll keep on picking it.
It's a great series.
Yeah, again, it's zombies versus vampires versus an invading militia as the legendary George Romero unleashes the next chapter in his undead epic. Welcome back to New York City, years after a world-changing undead plague, and now outside forces are knocking on Manhattan's walls. What's worse, the roaming flesh-eaters who seem to be growing smarter every day, the ruling bloodsuckers struggling to keep their grip on power, or the Southern Army bent on pillaging the greatest city in the world. I think they're all pretty bad.
Yeah.
No matter how you look at it.
I'm just curious now at this point in time, when are they going to bring in probably the next best zombie writer that would be available? I'm not talking about Kirkman. I'm talking, you know, Max Brooks, of course, with World War Z, which we won't talk about the movie. But
I like
Max is the
uncut version.
The next, I would say he's definitely the guy, what's the phrase? The wealth of knowledge when it comes to zombies.
Yep.
Well, my first pick for this week is another number one, Edge of Spider-Verse. It's written by David Hine. It's the beginning of the end. 3 months to die ends here. Now, wait a second. This doesn't sound right.
This is an X-Men. Oh,
this doesn't.
I think the intern has been fired.
Or yeah, they didn't get it in time.
They have Wolverine's description of the comic book. Edge of Spider-Verse.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if it is written by David Hine. Cover says it's written by David Hine. So I'm seeing Hine's name. I believe we talked about this briefly, where this is going to, I believe, start talking about the different realms of Spider-Man.
So yeah. It's written by David Hine and Fabrice Sapowski. Peter Parker of the 30s finds himself not only up against Mysterio, but knee-deep in the Spider-Man event of 2014. And it's Spider-Man Noir.
See, this is what I get for failing on my show research, because I'm trying to get the rest of the show produced for this week. So
it's all right. We'll forgive you.
I thank you for having my back on that one.
I got you.
So what's your number two pick?
My pick would be just about what you were just about to read about. Death of Wolverine number two. It's the beginning of the end. 3 months to die ends here. The beginning of the end is now, here. The death of Wolverine. 3 months to die. The loss of Wolverine's healing factor. All led to this, the single most important X-Men event of the decade. Logan has spent over a century being the best there is at what he does, but even the best fade away eventually. Over the years, Logan has been a warrior, a hero, a renegade, a samurai, a teacher, and so much more, but now the greatest X-Men hero will play a role he's never played before in the specially weekly event. Brought to you by industry superstars Charles Soule and Steve McNiven. I think that's the same description as Death of Wolverine number one.
Is it? except the fact that it ends here.
Yeah.
So, my second pick is Avengers number 34.1. So, as we all know, Avengers 35 will be Captain America being taken over by Sam Wilson, a.k.a. the Falcon.
Right.
So I wonder how long they're going to stretch this out for. The last son of a dead Utopa, father figure to a new species of humanity, Avenger, Hyperion is all these things and more. Now the man from nowhere searches for an unhinged cop killer, a kidnapped child, and the answers to the questions that haunt him. So, this is being written by Al Ewing. So,
cool.
Let's see how all this is setting up for... I guess they got to do something to start the transition to the new change with Cap.
Yeah, to Sam, yeah.
So,
My next pick is the Amazing Spider-Man number 6. It's written by Dan Slott. Cover artist is Humberto Ramos. It's the finale of the heartbreaking first arc of Amazing Spider-Man, where all heck breaks loose on Peter Parker. Parker Industries has promised a humane and secure supervillain containment system, but Black Cat and Electro have other ideas. The secret of Silk have been revealed.
Very cool. My third pick for the week is Hawkeye number 20. David Ayala's covers are... I definitely love the feel of them. It's more of like a modern version of what Steranko might do.
Mm-hmm.
But the writer is Matt Fraction. Yes. Kate Guy. Madam Mask. Los Angeles. Explosions. The end of summer vacation.
Oh.
The final showdown for all the marbles. Okay, the marbles are a metaphor. You belong, you belong, you belong, you belong to the Merry Marble Marching Society. This is the big one.
The big one.
Fraction and Woo and Hollingsworth 2. Oh, my. So, interesting to see how this is going to play out. It'll be fun to watch. Hawkeye has been great. I'm trying to remember. I believe they did win an Eisner this past San Diego Comic-Con for the work. So, I mean, the art's amazing. The stories are amazing. It's worth checking out.
Cool stuff coming out.
Does that bring our week to a close?
That brings the week to a close. It's kind of a slow week, and we've got a few more things in there than anticipated.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty good. But that's about it.
Well, so we thank you guys for listening this week and every week as y'all do. Check us out on YouTube and on Stitcher. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating. We'd love to hear what y'all think of the show. Any topics, questions, comments, email us at mmg as in Mighty Marvel Geeks at weebiegeeks.net. That's where the show is hosted as a podcast every Sunday morning. But on Sorcerer Radio, we're on right after Rebel Force Radio here on Saturday nights, starting at 8 o'clock, with Geek Out Saturday Nights starting at 7. But throughout the week, check out Sorcerer Radio Network Top 10 Countdown Show and E-Ticket Time, Sorcom Review, Disneyland Magic, DW60, WDW Tiki Room, Disney Trip Tips, and more, Into the Sunset, etc. Check those out, and until next week, where can we be found on Twitter?
We can be found at Marvel Geeks. Is that it?
At Marvel Geeks. That's it.
At Marvel Geeks. I don't know why I can never remember that. So simple.
On Facebook, follow us at Mighty Marvel Geeks. And until next week.